if you're into espionage, if you're into theft of intellectual property, if you're a rogue state, what do you want right now? You want the vaccine. And guess what? Evidence reveals that North Korea allegedly tried to steal the vaccine technology from Pfizer. That's right. That's what South Korean officials are saying. The North Korea just said, you know what we're going to do? We're not going to try to buy it. We're just going to steal it. Now, how do they do that? I'm going to bring in David Masson. He's the director of enterprise security for Darktrace. That's an AI cybersecurity company. Now, we hear a lot about cybersecurity in the pandemic. And David, great to have you on the program. What do we know about this North Korean attempt to steal the vaccine technology from Pfizer?
Yeah, hi, Evan. Well, North Korea's got a long career and history of stealing things from around the world. Normally, they usually steal money. But obviously, in this occasion, what they've done is they've hacked into Pfizer in South Korea, hacked in by whatever way they've done it, and have gone looking for some of that vaccine information, perhaps for their own vaccine program or perhaps to then sell it on to somebody else. And that's quite a common phenomenon. For complicated attacks like this, it usually is a nation state, so North Korea, and they would do it. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a nation state. It could be a very well organized criminal gang.
So what do they do? Like, because according to articles, Microsoft said, quote, at least 9 health organizations like Pfizer have been targeted by state backed organizations, as you say, not just North Korea but Russia as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And why? Because right now everybody wants information about COVID-19 and everybody wants information about vaccinations against COVID-19. It's probably the most commoditable thing in the world right now. And not everybody has that information. Not everybody has the resources within their country to actually deal with this kind of stuff. And if you really need to get hold of it, your other option might be to go and take it from somebody else. So there's a lot of it going on.
So how do you go about, take us inside the people here, the dark web and what this means.
Yep.
Take us in there. It's kind of pull back the curtain so we can kind of understand what you do and what they would be doing.
Okay, what they would be doing, let's say somebody wants to get some information on vaccinations, on the vaccines itself. And I just remind your listeners that back in the summer, Canada, America, and Britain actually issued a warning to Russia about them hacking in, trying to steal COVID-19 vaccination research material. So they haven't got it. They've got to get it themselves. They've got to go and find out who's got it. Well, that's kind of pretty easy because you know who all the companies are right now who are producing the vaccines. So we've got AstraZeneca, Oxford AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Moderna. Probably know where a lot of it's been made. Some of it's been made in South Korea. Some of it's been made in India. Some of it's been made in Europe. See, there's lots of entry points for a threat actor to get in, and that's basically what they'll do. They'll try and get onto that network somehow. Usually it's done via what's known as a phishing email, where somebody gets an email, looks really interesting, and they say, click on this link. They click on the link. And as well as finding the interesting thing, they download a load of what we call malware, basically a bug, gets on there, and then that allows hackers to get onto the network, and then basically you start moving around looking for what it is they want. You know, and if I'm being very simplified here, they're looking for the file that says COVID-19 vaccination research. That's a very simplified version of it. And then they go in, find that material, and copy it, or just basically steal it.
And it's that. How hard is it to do that? I mean, is this the kind of thing that Pfizer is? They know it. I mean, they know the value of this. So there must be intense security around this.
Yeah, there is. There is absolutely massive defensive security around this. Most security right now kind of bases itself around a system of trying to know what all the bad stuff is in the world and therefore keeping it off your network, or based on past experience, trying to work out what bad's going to be in the future and therefore trying to pre-proof themselves against that attack. There's a lot of security product out there that actually does that. The problem is threat actors are always ahead of the curve. Because at the end of the day, they know what they want, and they know when they're going to attack, and they know how they're going to do it, whereas the defenders don't know that. So at the moment, the attacker's always one step ahead, so they can come up with a new type of malware that will get onto a network because they know that the defenders don't know about it yet, and therefore it will get through the firewalls or whatever and land on the network. And that's a basic problem for most organizations. The other issue that most organizations also have is called visibility, in that they can't really see what's going on their own turf and their own digital infrastructure, their own networks. They tend to find out about something after it's happened rather than seeing it right at the time when the bad guys arrive in the network and start moving around. And that is a very, very, very common problem.
Okay, so if Pfizer's doing it, you can imagine this is every Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, that these state-sponsored enterprises are going after everybody, right? But there must be, it must be a 24-hour day, 7 days a week, full-on attack all the time.
For some of them, it will be. The thing is, most cyber attacks right now are still driven by human beings. So there's a bad guy, for want of a better word, on a mouse, on a keyboard somewhere doing this. And you know what? Even bad guys have to go to sleep at some point and take a break and have a rest. But for nation-state attacks, they've got budget, they've got resource, they've got people. They've got thousands of people that can do this kind of thing. And so for some people that get attacked, it will seem like a pretty much 24/7 attack. But taking the human beings out of the attack cycle right now, what's going to be coming quite soon is you're going to find threat actors start using artificial intelligence. Now, our company, we use AI to defend networks, but we right. look forward to, unfortunately, look forward to is not the right word, to be honest with you, is the bad guys, threat actors, using AI themselves. And the significance there is you won't need a human being to drive the attack because AI doesn't sleep, doesn't get sick, doesn't go right. on holiday. And then you really will see your 24/7 type of attack. Cycle.
And so what is, for our listeners, just and I can't tell you how fascinated everyone is on this. And I'm speaking to David Masson, Director of Enterprise Security at Darktrace, an AI cybersecurity company, about North Korea and the accusation that they're trying to hack the vaccines for their own purposes. What do you mean when they're using AI? Can you? I think a lot of folks may not follow what you're saying there.
Yeah. So we're talking about artificial intelligence, basically really, really smart computer code that can do things faster and at greater scale and at greater sophistication than human beings. We're talking about an attack that doesn't require a human being to click the mouse and to move things around. We're talking about an attack that can think for itself without a human involvement. And this kind of attack moves at a speed faster than human beings can think. And so people who try to defend networks, they simply cannot compete with an AI attack because human beings cannot move at the speed of artificial intelligence. And at that point, you need AI to fight AI. Bring along human beings to an AI fight, and unfortunately, they're going to lose because they cannot move at the scale and speed and sophistication of artificial intelligence.
Man, it is you guys must be busy. It's a war out there. And I guess it's not only a war, it's an arms race, a cyber arms race.
That's a very good explanation, actually. Yeah, it's a cyber arms race, and may the best algorithm win. But the key feature here, Evan, is the war. Who's going to win the war? Well, don't really know. But we can win the battles. The battles are there to be won. You can use AI to fight AI. You can use AI to obtain that visibility I mentioned a few minutes ago. You can use AI to handle the complexity of these increasingly phenomenally complex digital infrastructures that you're trying to protect. And you can win those battles. You can win them.
We hope. As long as people like you are on our side. David, you're the best. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Next time. Cheers, man. Bye.
Yeah, you too. David Masson, Director of Enterprise Security for Darktrace, an AI cybersecurity company. That's what's going on. So you think that, you know, when you say, oh, we should get this vaccine, you've got countries like North Korea, allegedly, they're just going to steal it. They're just going to hack it. These pharmacy companies have got to protect against that too. And by the way, every lab does. Health Canada does too. That was unbelievable.